Hello, and welcome to BJGP Interviews. I'm Nada Khan, and I'm one of the associate editors of the BJGP. Thanks for taking the time today to listen to this podcast. In this episode, we talk to Dr. Susan Moshogiannis, a research associate based at the Health Services Research and Primary Care Team at the University of Manchester. We're going to talk about the paper she's recently published here in the BJGP titled Patient Experiences of an Online Consultation System, a Qualitative Study in Primary Care Post-COVID-19. So thanks, Susie, for joining me here to talk about this really topical piece of research. I think in some ways we in primary care have been chasing our tail a little bit on the subject of online consultation models, with programs being rolled out before they're really well evaluated. But here's our chance now, I suppose, to look back at what patient experiences have been. Could you first talk us through what we already knew about online consultation services and what you aim to do in this study?
Yeah, so as you know, online consultation systems have been around for quite some time, but have had limited impact really until the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, they've been advocated internationally as a way to potentially relieve pressure on healthcare services through more effective use of resources. And research has shown that online consultation systems can have a positive effects on care, such as increased access, you know, though can have conflicting impacts on cost, staff workload, patient satisfaction and care equality. And in sort of early 2020, as a group led by Dr. Ben Brown, we were conducting a systematic review into online consultation systems. And we noted that there was a lack of, you know, patient perspective and a lack of research that had been done on patient experiences. And the research already there focused on staff perspectives, and what patient research was there was restricted to surveys and were limited further due to the poor patient uptake of online consultation systems. However, as you say, you know, this changed in early 2020 with the rapidly, you know, increased adoption of systems. So we were able to explore the views and perspectives of a large range of patients for the first time.
And this was a qualitative approach where you interviewed patients, as you mentioned, and also got written free text feedback from over 10,000 patients where their practices were using the Patches online consultation service. But I wanted to move a little bit onto the results, and we can start with the positives. What did patients perceive as some of the benefits of using online consultation systems?
Consistent with international, you know, findings and, you know, previous research, you know, we found overall high patient satisfaction with the online consultation system that we looked at. The ability to get a swift response to their query was commonly cited as the key benefit. Other benefits included, you know, convenience and flexibility for those patients with work commitments or care responsibilities, especially. And in general, online consultation systems were, we found, to be particularly suited when seeking help for simple queries like rashes and colds. I think our research shed a bit more light on the potential positives of using written communication and communicating with your GP in that way. A lot of patients enjoyed having a written record of their conversation with their GP. Some people think that in traditional appointments, with the stress of being in that situation and the 10-minute consultation, they forget to mention key things. They like the ability to formulate responses in their own times and review and edit their query before they submitted it.
And a lot of what happens with these online consultation systems is in their implementation. And sometimes the patients you talk to identified areas where the implementation of these systems wasn't communicated very well. What did they tell you about that?
Yeah, so despite all the perceived benefits of the system, patients did still, you know, often have negative experiences. However, often this was largely related to how the GP practice implemented and used the system rather than the system itself. So poor communication often left patients feeling disappointed and frustrated. So, for example, some practices adopted a soft launch where the system was not available to all patients initially due to a fear of being inundated with requests. When made more widely available, patients were then not notified in advance and only learned about the system from reception staff at the point that they were unwell and actually needed help. GP practice websites were frequently criticised for being overloaded with information, with a need for clearer signposting to the system. Some patients were confused about the purpose of the online consultation system, particularly in practices that offered other systems with different functions, for example, to order prescriptions. Some were unaware that in-person appointments would still be offered if necessary. Other people, however, thought that the online consultation system was an in-person appointment booking service, so was therefore disappointed at the end when they didn't automatically get to choose a date and time. Patients got very frustrated if a GP hadn't fully read their query and asked the same questions again in a follow-up telephone consultation, for example. Things like that put patients off using the system again.
Mm.
Crucially, the way that practices managed access to the online system, the way they managed patient demand. So quite a few practices limited its availability, again, so they didn't become overwhelmed with requests. So, of course, if it's closed to patients, that can remove the benefit of flexibility and convenience. But some practices did manage to limit the availability more successfully without negatively impacting patient experience as much. These practices were clear about when the system was available. They staggered opening times throughout the day, so it didn't penalise people who worked certain shifts or during the school run, for example. And some practices allowed administrative requests to remain open even when it was closed to clinical requests.
Mm, and I think that's one area that patients find extremely frustrating if some online consultation systems are only open from 9 to 5 on certain days. And I suppose it is just about the communication. So if people understand that and then having, as you say, some flexibility around having staggered opening times would really help. And some patients also described that it was difficult to access these online services. And I wonder if you had anything you wanted to comment about that, or if patients described anything about a digital divide and how they were able to use these different systems.
Yeah, obviously, a limitation of our study is that we only spoke to people or received feedback from people who'd used the system at least once. And I think future research, we need to look at those that, were unable to access the service. I think in general, there is a preconception or a concern that, for example, older patients won't be able to use online consultation systems. We did find, however, that many older patients did like using the system, especially if they'd received initial support to register, and perhaps somebody on reception had sort of taught them through how to submit that first request. Once they'd had that initial support, those people who maybe weren't as IT confident, they quite often liked the system and were welcomed using the system again in the future.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is probably an important point for some practices where they're using almost a total triage system through online consultation models. So every patient contacting the practice needs to go through this kind of system first. But as you say, just understanding really who is able to use it and potentially then mitigating for patients who can't. So having the ability for them to call in and have someone talk them through the online consultation system, for instance.
Yeah, and absolutely. And one of the recommendations we do make in the paper based on the findings is the importance of choice. There was a subgroup of patients with an evolving negative attitude towards the online system as the pandemic went on. Many of these did express concerns about using the IT, but also about the depersonalization and feeling detached and removed from their GP practice, concerns about clinical safety. However, there were other patients who couldn't quite articulate why they didn't like online consultation systems. And it was more a general thought that GPs were trying to avoid seeing them, and perhaps didn't quite get that they would still get an in-person appointment if it was necessary.
So coming back to that clear communication, I suppose, in that on that point. And some of the patients described their different preferences about using online consultation services, for instance, when discussing sensitive topics. So what kind of things do they describe here?
Yeah, so we know that patients respond differently to online consultation systems, but I think this research shed light not only just on the characteristics of patients themselves, but also the condition that they're seeking help for and when it might be more suitable to use online consultations and when in-person appointments might be more suitable. We found sort of conflicting opinions really when it came to sensitive topics, so sexual health queries or mental health queries. Some felt in-person appointments were more appropriate for sensitive topics. They believe the chatbot questions were impersonal. And of course, patients may indeed have to repeat themselves again on the telephone and go through things a second time. In contrast, other patients actually felt anxious discussing these topics in person and actually preferred to use the online consultation system precisely because it was impersonal, and they felt less embarrassed, and they felt more open and able to discuss queries in this way.
Are there any other key findings you want to discuss?
Yeah, so thinking about how we know that patients respond differently to online consultation systems, I think this research shed lights on the individual characteristics of patients themselves, which may derive specific benefits from using these systems. For example, we found evidence that male patients, they reported they were more likely to contact their GP using online consultation systems. Other males admitted they avoided contacting their GP about problems that were causing them concern and anxiety, and the impersonal nature of the online consultation tool helped them emotionally detach, so they were more likely to seek help sooner. And also patients who struggled with verbal communication in traditional appointments, so patients with hearing loss, anxiety, and autistic spectrum disorders, and also patients for whom English is a second language often preferred the online consultation system because they reported they were more confident writing rather than speaking English, and also they could utilize free online translation tools.
So I think this comes down to one size doesn't fit all. And again, back to what you were saying about offering that choice to patients.
Absolutely.
There's a lot to unpick here, I think, for practices who are implementing online services. But if you wanted to send a few key messages to GPs or those organising online services in general practice, what would that be?
I said that GP practices should focus on clear communication about online consultation systems to patients. Let them know when a system's launched, how it's to be accessed, how to register, and what its purpose is. To practice, the importance of practicing good online consultation system etiquette. So acknowledge patients to confirm their request has been received. Get back to patients within a stipulated time frame. Read the request before a telephone appointment. Don't ask them to repeat what's already been written. Access availability fairly. If the practice is going to limit the availability and number of requests patients can submit each day, they need to communicate clearly when it will be open and stagger opening times throughout the day so it doesn't disadvantage certain patients, and maximize the number you'll accept. You know, allow administrative queries to be submitted, for example, for a sick note, even when close to clinical queries. Make other options available. You know, some patients won't want to use the system to discuss specific conditions like sensitive topics, and some may just struggle to use online consultation systems. Others might not have a clear reason why not. And don't make assumptions about who may not want to use an online consultation system. You know, like we've said, there's concerns older patients and those for whom English is a second language, for example, may find online consultation systems difficult to use. But our results present insights that these groups can still derive benefits from online consultation systems, especially with initial support.
And that's really important, again, to highlight and coming back to some of the benefits of these different systems as well. And I think that's a great place to wrap things up. But yeah, I just wanted to say thanks again for joining me here to talk about this research.
Thank you very much.
And thank you all very much for your time and for listening to this BJGP podcast. The original research article can be found on bjgp.org, and the show notes and podcast audio can be found at bjgplife.com. And just a reminder that we are running the BJGP Research Conference on the 22nd of March in London. The conference website is bjgp.org/conference, and we're going to have a good selection of talks from different speakers and researchers from around the UK, as well as the editorial team. Thanks again, and bye!